Welcome back. Another episode of On the Bus Podcast, episode 70. We got a treat for you guys for this one. We're going to jump right in. Remember, the trailer is out. The trailer for our first pilot, the Save the Dina tour, a collaboration with Live High Bri over at Live High. Huge shout out to him. He put together an incredible, beautiful product. Thank you so much, Brian Shea. Love what you did. Love what you got going. And thank you to everybody who's watched the video. Thank you to everybody who has shared the video and shared the message, because you guys are all on the bus. And thank you for passing on this message of what being on the bus is. It's not just riding on it. It's just going off and creating your own experience, whatever that is and whatever that may be. So we're so happy and fascinated to see that everybody is really latching on and attaching on to this idea, and that the premise is so much grander and bigger than what Daniel and I have to say. And let's jump into today's guest. We have another return guest. We have Mackenzie Foster, all-around superwoman. She's runs a large real estate firm here in NYC. She has her own restaurant. A restaurant nonetheless popped up and started up in NYC. It's a unique niche restaurant. French fry shop over in the East Village. Fry Guys, definitely a place you want to check out. And she is a notable historian here in NYC. So with this podcast, we talk heavy history, we talk about some interesting topics from U.S. gymnastics, the different perspectives understood all across the historical spectrum, from Greco-Roman times to what is going on in today's age and now, from how technology is affecting us to different things in society and civilization. So this was a long one, but this is a real, real fun podcast. I know you guys are all going to enjoy it. Let's get on the bus.
You look great.
Thank you.
Your tan is, like, phenomenal.
And surprisingly, it's happened in New York. Just, like, walk around for, like, 20 minutes around the street.
I can't even tell you. Everyone looks at me and they're like, where have you been? Where are you vacationing? I'm like, I'm not. I'm just working in New York. And there's, like, never a second when the sun isn't beating on your, like, head and your hair and your skin. That perfect example. You're waiting in a crosswalk and there's, like, 25 people in front of you. Mm-hmm. And then the light's, like, counting down from, like, 30 to zero, and you're just standing there getting the best suntan of your life. that's the only reward.
I mean, it's just, like you said, even like I was thought about it, like there's 30 people standing right there on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
There's just a lack of oxygen right there, yeah. Mixed in with there's no air getting put into the city, yeah, from all the tall skyscrapers,
yeah,
and buildings there. So even when you do stop,
yeah,
there's less air coming in your face and less air coming your way.
No relief. And I've actually started to notice that a lot of the newer buildings that have been constructed in the last, like, 3-4 years, the glass panels that they're using don't have any sort of, like, heat-resistant qualities. So when the sun hits the glass panel, like, let's say the sun's beaming this way and this is a building, the sun then radiates all that heat off onto the other side of the street, and you're just, like, burning. And so I was walking down, like, I think Lafayette Street the other day, and I was like, why is it so much hotter, like, one block? And I realized they had this new building that I think I almost melted.
So it's not going in at all, just bouncing right back
it's
off
bouncing
onto the
right
street?
Off. Yeah, so I guess for the people that are paying millions of dollars to live there, they'll never be hot. They'll always have the perfect temperature. But for all the poor people, like, walking by, like,
well, especially in Soho, I mean,
you're out of luck. Forget it.
There's some dodgy characters around that area. And especially you head down towards Bowery.
Yeah.
Christie, right near Houston.
Yeah.
It just gets sketchy over
there.
Oh,
that's where I like to hang.
Just don't play basketball over there, too.
No. I mean,
even if you play, there's just too many characters out
there.
No.
Every time I walk by it, I'm just, like, I'm shocked because I'll see, like, seemingly normal people talking to, like, very insane people. And, like, how, like, A, what are you guys talking about? And B, like, how did this conversation just, like, spark in, like, in the middle of a, like, heat wave?
See, that's my problem, being the friendly go-getter, traveler, sparking a conversation with X, Y, or Z.
I just imagine they're buying drugs.
Amy, like, yells at me, like, don't talk to them. Just don't acknowledge them. It's nice. You want to be a nice person, but not here.
You can do it on the west side.
Not in New York.
Not on the east side. The west side, there's definitely a better chance that that person is normal. On the east side, forget about it.
Okay,
they're
learning a lot.
Definitely on, like, bath salts and heroin at the same time.
Talk to the homeless on the west side, east side, no go.
Yeah, separation.
These are good points. Yeah. I'm still new up here. So many things I have to pick up and learn while I'm on the way. And that, what have you been up to?
Well, it's been a really exciting and incredible year since we last spoke. I think this is almost down to, like,
a year.
1 year anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart. Where's my gift? All I get is a freaking 6-pack of beers.
Mm-hmm. That's going to cool you down.
It's actually really helping. This last year has been incredible in terms of growth, in terms of success, personal and both, you know, professional. I feel a lot more like an adult, which is weird because when we talked last year, I was like definitely an adult. Now I guess I'm getting ready to retire. But, you know, my real estate business is going incredibly well.
Mm-hmm.
I've built out a team at Compass, which really helps to, you know, alleviate a lot of the, you know, sort of smaller tasks that I'm usually pitted with, and allows me to be more client-facing and, you know, basically do my favorite parts of the job, which are working with my clients, strategizing, doing valuations, showing the properties, selling them, negotiating, and then the other things are, you know, like marketing, tech, emails, updates.
You got to hire a whole team,
yeah,
just for each of those subjects you just named right there.
Right. And I happen to be very good at all of them, so like I could definitely do it all in one capacity, but I think in terms of production, it would basically just decrease my production if I continue to do all those things and not just be like out there as the face and the person who does like all the talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I mean, you even have would you call Fry Guys a restaurant as well? I mean,
yeah.
you run your own business with you have a whole team now with real estate, you have the restaurant.
Yeah.
I mean, you're superwoman. I mean, I'm trying to do as many projects at a time, but you know, like you said, you know, it's hiring out a team, but what I find the problem is trying to have someone else replicate your voice, especially your image.
That's impossible. I mean, you sort of just have to strengthen your image so much and your brand so much to the point where, you know, if someone isn't living up to it, to you, it's not okay, but to the client, it's still, like, really, really good, if that makes sense. No one can replicate what I do, and that's made it really hard for me to even take the step to bring on other people to try to help. Finding work these days or finding workers is just really difficult because I feel like as I get older and the younger generation is coming up, they just don't have the same work ethic. Like, they don't understand, like, what it means to hustle. And so it's made it really hard to rely on people, but at a certain point, like, I can't kill myself at 26 because I, you know, won't let go of things not being perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting you said that, because one of our former guests, Kira Cheer, she is a photo-based journalist, and she talks about sexuality, relationships,
yeah.
and she talks about even online dating and, you know, the Generation Z, whatever they're called, that next one coming in. I don't know what these labels are anymore.
I have no idea.
And so they really haven't had the connections or built the relationships that maybe we still had as millennials, because we came into the digital age.
Right.
We weren't born with it.
Right.
It came there as we were, you know, yeah. 8 and 9 years old, but we still had time to develop those connections and relationships
without
from
it.
Running around to, mm-hmm. you know, to go off on your own to play a sport, you know, or get beat up by the older kid, or have the conflict and have to do conflict resolutions.
Yeah.
As individuals, instead of having no parents there to say, okay, no, that's not good, this is bad, because I said so.
Right. It's so true. I think human connection today is at an all-time low. And I think, like, narcissism is probably at an all-time high. And having these false beliefs of entitlement and importance is something that continues to be a major problem in our society, not just with the younger generation, but with people who are our age, with, you know, I see, like, parents doing it as well. And I'm like, mm-hmm. but you didn't even have a computer or anything growing up. Like, you've just adopted this now at a much older age when you should know better. And in terms of human connection, you know, I'm out and about a lot, like, walking, showing. I'm always around the city. And so I get to see and interact with, like, so many different walks of life. And just one thing that I just find, like, astonishing is when I go to a restaurant and everyone at the table is just sitting there on their phone. Like, I don't even take my phone out at all if I bring it. And I'll see couples walking together hand in hand and, like, the other hand's on their phone. Why be together? You know, like, what is the point of being together and being a completely separate, different world? I find it to be, like, disheartening, but it also at the same time, like, helps me think about how I can just put everything away and be, you know, more centered and be more present, you know, in any circumstance. So hopefully our younger generation fights back a little bit, but I'm not sure. I feel like they're totally just controlled by their iPhones and whatever applications they have on it.
Yes and no. I mean, I wouldn't say it's like the technology itself that's hurting them. It's that, you know, there's no balance. There's no balance. I mean, we came up with that in that age where it's okay, there's going to be this and there's going to be that. We had the taste of both. We're the first generation to have the taste of both, you know, especially when you hear, you know, people from the generation before us or even our parents, like, oh yeah, you just don't understand, you know, we did this and we did that, like,
but then they go back on their phones.
Okay, so. yeah we get it, yeah, you didn't have this,
right?
Get over yourself.
As they're talking to you, like looking at their email.
Exactly. And then, you know, seeing that next generation come up, it's almost not a setback, but it's like, because it's like, okay, you see younger kids now, but then you also see, you know, what's going on in college now, you know, right. I look at it, you know, it's like, okay, I think I got out of college just in time.
Right, definitely.
You know, from someone to say, oh, man, like, oh, Target.
Right.
This guy, I'm a victim of him or what he's saying or what he's doing.
Right.
And, I mean, I just imagine, like, oh, I just want to go back to a university and just walk around and just, you know, is this what's happening?
Yeah.
Am I not seeing this? Is this happening here? Or, you know, especially when it comes to the ideas and the ideas leaning one direction and leaning another. Because.
Right.
You know, if you go to university now, everybody will say it's more left-leaning than right-leaning. And there's no real perspective or anybody, like you said, the victimhood or people say, feeling entitled.
Right.
Oh, that offended me or that offended something I know.
Yeah. I mean.
Is that it?
Can we just talk about this for a second?
Please.
So I myself am a very sensitive person, and I'm also someone who is self-conscious, not in a way that, like, I feel badly about myself, but I am conscious of what I am putting out there. And I feel as though, you know, you have to be able to take in whatever someone is going to give to you and try to make sense of it in a way that automatically isn't, that was offensive. Because every time someone feels offended or someone feels as though they're being discriminated against or belittled, they don't actually take the opportunity to say, okay, well, this is what was given to me. Like, why did that person say that? You know, what is the scenario in which this information is being put out there? And I feel like it automatically goes to, like, that person is this, or this person doesn't like me, and they don't like me because of so-and-so. And I just feel like, I don't know if it's because people are really sensitive or because, like, they're being told that it's okay to just automatically be so offended that you no longer talk to that person and figure out where their comment or where that action came from. Mm-hmm. But I think it is so deathly to our society. And I don't know if it, again, I don't know if it's because how kids are being brought up and they don't have a sense of toughness, like, they don't have a sense of, like, thick skin. But it's definitely startling. And I think it continues to create this polarization in our country that this person's over there and I'm over here and this is where we're going to stay and we're just going to keep rallying people on these two sides of the spectrum and not actually find a way to talk to one another about what's going on.
Where do you think that idea came from? Like, where do you think where the polarization to say that, oh, I'm entitled to this?
Yeah.
This is my perspective and nothing else matters.
Well, I think part of it has to come from, like, how you're brought up and I think another part of it is external in terms of, like, what society is pushing, like what we see on the news, what our leaders sort of do in terms of how they decide to run in their own political parties. And, you know, I just think we're so far away as a society from actually being friends with one another, which definitely has to do with what we were talking about before in terms of just being so involved in our own lives and not, like, actually being present and being in the same space as someone that all we have is, like, what we're thinking about or what we're reading on our phone or what we're doing in our own lives. I don't think – it's crazy to say, but in an age where we share so much, I don't think people share anything at all. And I don't think people actually give what they're feeling inside and put that out into the universe in a way that's actually truthful. So I think without having that truthfulness with one another and being able to share our space and being able to actually talk about what we feel and just doing things out of, like, selfish – motivations, I think we live in a polarized society. And I won't be running for president.
It's funny you said that because I think we're obviously moving to a point where there's just going to be no more privacy. Mm-hmm. You know, we're getting more and more open up to what people do, how they do it, what's their tips, their strategies. People are you know, expert marketers now on being able to take off what they do that's so unique that no one would be able to see before, from how they wake up every day. And what do they do? They take a cold shower, and now they're going to drink this kind of tea and this kind of coffee, and that's going to make them this incredible person. So we're moving towards this place where there's no more privacy. And we're going to be completely opened up. And like you said, because that's it, everybody can see more and more of who you are.
Right.
People are trying to decide what kind of image they want people to see because they can see even more of you.
Right.
And I think our last guest, we just did a show right before you came in too, you know, he's in the content creation space, and he talks about, you know, his transition from being a former college basketball player to now getting in the space and, you know, and trying to respect the process of, you know, defining his image and his voice.
Yeah.
It's like, I just want to have fun with it. I don't want it to be anything else. And, you know, that's what is, that's what is life.
Right.
Air is life, to have fun, be who you are and whatever it is that's going to be, whatever you want to make it. And it's okay to be Zed, he, she, you know, whatever. No one's saying you can't do that.
Yeah.
Just be it who you want to be.
Yeah.
Simple
as that. Is that a thing? Is that a term?
It's one of those many pronouns. Yeah. I mean, there's like a lot.
Can you give me a little context as to like what is that?
I don't think I know exactly what it is because, you know, there's the binary, there's gender fluid, you know, where it's just like you could be anything. And again, me doing
it. You're going to get me in trouble with this.
You're going to get, but that's the interesting thing. You know, I talk about these topics and these things. I'm probably offend people or say things the wrong way.
Yeah.
Still no one comes after me. And it's like, oh.
Right.
I guess I'm just a good person still because
that's it.
I tread smoothly.
But you're not saying it to offend people. Like, that's the thing. Like, I grew up going to ballet school where all the guys were pretty much gay.
Mm.
And that was awesome because I have so many incredible gay friends, and the gay culture has had a great impact on my life. And like, anything that I say about gender has no offense to it because, like, it can't. Like, I love gay people. But I feel like when you start to talk about all these different, like, factions of, like, man, woman, question mark, I don't know what it's being called. Like, I feel like everyone gets super uptight and automatically pegs you as, like, not being, like, open or a good person or understanding. But at the same time, I really do feel like we need some definitions for what's going on. Because if we grow up in a society and start bringing people up in a society where you don't have a definition for anything, or, you know, now doctors are getting in trouble because they're asking parents if it's a boy or a girl, and they're saying, well, it's their choice. I mean, fine, it can be their choice at some point, but you do have a little boy or a little girl when it comes out of the womb. Like, we cannot take this so far to a point where it's just like this crazy world where everyone's going to be upset over everything that's said because it's not said exactly how someone wants it.
It's like the early stages of where we're going to be able to take, you know, like, gender modification because, you know, South Park joked around about it. Like, oh, the dad's like, oh, my son is a short Jewish kid. Well, he wants to play basketball. Oh, yeah, well, we can add, you know, make him a tall black man. And they change Kyle into a tall black kid so he can play basketball against the other kids.
Sounds right.
And the dad goes in, well, I can be a dolphin? Oh, yeah, sure. We can add you a dorsal fin in your back. And, I mean, you know, technologically, we're moving to a point where, you know, the capabilities of turning someone to look like that, maybe they won't have gills and they can breathe underwater. But if that's honestly what someone has to do, and we're not going to have someone else pay for it.
Right.
If that's what someone wants to build towards and be. I mean, that's just what it is to be human.
If that's the case, I'm just send me away. I'll be a mermaid. Like, I don't want to be on land. I don't want to be a part of this. It's too much.
Unless mermaid is like the opposite way and like you were just completely off and it's like fish head.
Fine. I don't care. Just send me off to go swim in the ocean for the rest of my life. Like,
as long as you have gills.
Whatever. I don't, at that point, if that's the society we're going to live in, I'll just go float on the Atlantic, maybe somewhere nicer, like the Adriatic.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't want to be in the Atlantic.
Now, historically, I mean, we talk about like where we see divides like this and how it's like really damaging and detrimental to society. You know, you think one thing like civil war.
Yeah.
And you'd like to think that we've evolved to a certain point. You know, we don't have slavery, you know, something we really fought for at that time. So you try and look back and think at other points in history. And I have a hard time doing it. You can pinpoint any times where you can compare like something where people just didn't get along? Like, and it's not like on a level like we don't like each other. It's like, yeah. No, this is my team.
Yeah.
And this is my team. And we're the red guys.
Yeah.
And we want to beat the blue guys. And yeah. We don't care what you have to say because the red guys are the best.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that's pretty.
It's like a 5-year-old and the 5-year-old.
He basically just gave like a American history lesson in a matter of 10 seconds. I don't know. I come from such a mixed background of like black, white, like Jewish, Christian, like part of my family's Scottish, part of my family is like Cherokee, like part of my family are Ashkenazi Jews. I don't know what the big problem is with people not being able to just like be nice to one another.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird because when you see someone adult age who is rude or who is mean or who just, you know, you're just clearly not a nice person. I always think back and I'm like, wow, that person was once just like a kid. And when you're a kid, like, you don't have any of these, like, overarching ideas of, you know, hatred or, I don't know, when you're a kid, you go outside and you play catch and you have recess and, like, you do things as a kid and you haven't developed those opinions yet. And I'm just, every time I see something happen where it's just, like, devastating or, you know, even something as simple as someone being, like, a jerk on the street, I'm like, how did you get that way? Because once upon a time, like, you were not like that and you did not have those values and you did not see the world in the way you do it now, which is probably miserable. Like, your life is probably not where you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I just always have to think, like, you know what? I don't know how they got that way. It sucks that they're that miserable and they omit this terrible presence to the rest of the world. But, like, why? Like, why does everyone have to just, like, be so far apart in things?
Or maybe it's not technology. Maybe it's just society. I mean, this is, you know.
I know, but it's all intertwined. Like, our society is basically being, like, built on technology nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, I mean, civilization itself. You could be say is built on technology. Like, oh, we have the access to, you know, make a lot more food
because
we can grow it in one place and we can save it during the winter. And now we have more time
because
technology makes our lives easier in order to have more freedom and time to do things. So now we develop the arts, the sciences.
Right.
I mean, going all the way back to Mesopotamia.
Yeah.
So, okay, we develop arts, sciences, religion, you know, in places where different social atmospheres for people to connect and expand, you know, on whatever it is of us trying to understand of who we are on this planet. So, like you said, we have the longest or highest reaching technology of any time, but it seems like we don't put our time, or we don't have as much more time to expand and explore what it is to be a human being or understand ourselves and what actually goes on around us.
Yeah.
And we're working.
Maybe that's just not important to us anymore.
But maybe that's what generates and creates that. We don't have the time to be.
I know, but we have time. I think people make these excuses that I'm so busy, I don't have time to do. We all have time.
Agreed. I think you make makeup
24
busy.
Hours is a lot. I mean, it really is a lot of time. I think people waste it and tell themselves that they're doing something when they're really doing nothing and then say, I don't have any time.
Well, I think it's, you know, I realize this even like today. It's just we don't have the availability to be hard. You know, we're just we get soft living in a city, living in a civilization.
What are we talking about here?
Not penises. We're not talking about penises. We're talking about just being strong, tough, grit. I mean, we don't get that. You know, like what some people will do, like, oh, I'm going to take a cold shower because that's going to make me tough today and that's going to make me weaken my resistance so I can just be a better person. I'm going to wake up and expand the day better to go off and do again, whatever. So it's taking a cold shower. That's going to make you harder and tougher. Like, is that it? Like, and then at the same time, like, people think being tough and hard and like grit is working behind a computer for like 18 hours a day. But like, is that it?
That's
like,
not it either.
And then when people go push themselves, like let's say it's the gym or the cold shower. Like, when is it that people actually push themselves to exhaustion? You know, you're a former athlete. I'm a former athlete. Even I will say like, oh, I haven't really gone to that point where I used to go to that point where I literally can't move anymore.
Yeah.
People don't do it to that. They don't understand that. They don't remember
what
that experience is like.
Right.
Makes assholes.
So, oh, definitely. I think we've solved, like, the humanitarian crisis here. I mean, if you, let me ask you a question. If you were looking back into history, and it doesn't just have to be American history, mm-hmm. what would you say was probably our best point of being, like, great people? Like, having good values, like, not being obsessed with all the wrong things, not hating one another. Like, what do you think would be, like, the optimal society and, like, what, you know, what time period would you sort of pinpoint that
down? It's still today.
Really?
It's still this time. I mean, there was just so much strife. There was so much fear, even more, you know, with the lack of communication of, like, oh, you literally had to be worried about the people coming on that side of the hill.
Yeah.
And if they came over with long blonde hair that was wrapped up in braids with horns on the head,
it's
like,
kind of fun.
it's fun if you're on that side because they like to rape, pillage, and take everything you want. But if you're on the other side and you've never seen these guys before, you're fucked.
Yeah.
And you're worried and ruined. That was just when you'd never seen people before.
So you think now is the best time to live in terms of, like, humanitarian values and, like, this is the best our society has ever been throughout, let's just say, dating back to, like, the Greek and Romans?
Yeah, I mean, did you have people, like, saying, oh, wow, someone wants to go do the art project they want to do. I'm going to donate $5 over there because they have a project in Palestine and they don't get the supplies into their territory and I'm going to help them generate money to create their own project. Like, yeah, that just never happened any time before that. And that's just like, for again, someone on another part of society that we've created art to say, okay, I want to do this. And I want to be able to connect with the rest of the world in order to do that in a place where it's a really tough place.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter what side of the pendulum you're on and like Israel-Palestine thing, that this person connect with the internet and get out and still work on the passion project they want to work on.
Yeah.
No matter if their side's the wrong side or the Israel side, they can still do that.
Yeah.
Can't do that any other time in history.
I would say, I'm going to give you two dates.
Okay.
I'm going to say 1996.
Touche.
And the Greco-Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And everything in between that, probably not.
All right, I'm going to start backwards. Why Greco-Roman?
Well, if you're looking at the advances that they made in their own society, and then you're also thinking about where the rest of the world is in developing, like, their own cultures, I think we were doing pretty well back then. I mean, we had, not we, but they had...
You can talk we. You're okay. Talking about that person
okay,
as a people.
I'm now in a Grecian princess. No, they really did have great technologies that we failed to use for, like, the next hundreds of years. So they had aqueducts, they had clean water, they had good food sources, they had natural foods that don't have all the junk that we now eat. And they did this all without having, like, iPhones or having all the technology that we do now. Like, they were looking into space, like, they were studying, like, agriculture, like, they were really immersed and involved with, like, the world's development. You look forward and the English, not just in England, but you can even look at New York as another source where the English had ruled as well. No one had aqueducts. We were freaking using ponds as both water streams and dump stations, knowing good well that long before us, we had perfectly tested systems where we could get clean water from one clean space into our cities to actually give the people what they needed, which was fresh water instead of drinking beer.
Mm-hmm.
And I know last episode we talked about this a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but it just blows my mind that, like, we had science, we had health, like, we had medicine, we had outer space, we had agriculture, all of those different systems being tested, and we are creating development in which we could actually live, like, healthy, successful lives. And then all of that, everything that the Greek and Romans did was, like, basically, I don't know, it's like someone just, like, threw the book out in the trash and was like, oh, no, I don't, I don't think that's right. Like, I'm going to drink the water where I just dumped all this garbage and I'll be fine.
I mean, it was an implosion of culture. I mean, you're talking about, you know, those barbarian invasions. You talk with the Visigoths, with the Huns, the Alans, all these different groups that just started advancing in. You know, talking 410 is when the Visigoths sacked Rome, and then 476, the big Attila the Hun fan, and the Huns, how they came over. Oh. And in the story behind that, it was Attila the Hun is 20 miles outside the gates of Rome.
Mm-hmm.
He's just conquered all of Europe. He's ready to conquer Rome.
Yeah.
Pope Leo, one of the very early popes, comes out, demands to have a council with him.
Mm-hmm.
They meet in a tent, And then after, he just, Attila Hun says, okay, we're turning around. We're going back to Hungary. No one knows what was ever said or talked about there. Never shared. And you know, his troops can't believe it.
Yeah.
We're almost there. The princess of Rome, who lived in Ravenna, Italy, had promised herself to him. So all he had to do was get there and he had to crown the king or the emperor. And he just turns around. And no one knows what happens. And like, that's it.
It's crazy.
It's one of those points in history where, you, again, if you want to go back in a bubble.
Right.
Because I'm going to be the stickler to your Greco-Roman time. You know, you're going to catch a disease. I mean, there is no immunity. There's no vaccines. I'm a vaccine person, yes. I believe in vaccines.
I'm not. So
no vaccines at all.
I mean, I've gotten shots, but I'm not one of those people who, like, I didn't grow up going to the doctors.
No, but I'm saying I believe in vaccines. Like, there should be certain vaccines that you should have and that you should get. And a lot of people don't think you should have none, though.
Well, I'm not in the nun camp. I'm just saying, like, I don't get flu shots.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, as a kid, I got my vaccines, you know, your hepatitis B, and then you get hepatitis A. You get vaccines.
I don't think my parents got those for me.
You get those as a kid growing up. If you went to the doctor in regular checkup, unless you religiously opt out for it, it was one of the things, like, you're kind of supposed to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just for you. It's for people around you because you are susceptible to those, whether it's bacteria or a virus. I mean, you can pass those on to other people. I think recently a lot of people stopped doing it in California. And there was a measles outbreak in Disney World in California.
Oh, God.
Because people weren't getting the vaccine for their kids. So it was spreading. And now people can't go to Disney World. But it becomes a life and death thing. Like, listen, you know, this big wheel, society and civilization, it works.
Yeah.
Because this thing is the backbone of Western civilization society. Antibiotics and vaccines.
Yeah.
There aren't people walking around with crutches like that with polio anymore. It's literally curable. Like, it doesn't exist on planet Earth.
Right.
Except for a few windows in Africa, I mean, Afghanistan and Pakistan, because the Taliban won't let people come in and give people immunizations. So that can't happen there. But it's literally something that is like, made us the push forward going from 1 billion people in 1800s to 7 billion, 8 billion people where we're at now.
That's a lot of people. I mean, I guess you have to decide whether you want that many people on Earth.
Again, it's the entitlement right there.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
I don't need to do it. But real quick, I got to go back. So Greco-Roman times, yes, there was an incredible, incredible, incredible movement of history and society that happened then in terms of, you know, the
I mean, most of our science is developed, like, literally in that period.
And when we talk about the Enlightenment, it was the looking back at the Greco-Roman times of, you know, the different things that were taught and different things that were learned in those periods.
I mean, that's philosophy. That's a philosophy we're still, like, working off of today.
Absolutely. What is it? The Socrates and the Plato and Aristotle? Is that the order right there?
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely. But again, Aristotle, you know, was defined on the sun not being the center of the solar system and the earth was.
Well, you know.
I mean, again, I'm not knocking, but it's like the pick and choose things. I would say that what they did and what they were able to do, it's a lot of people like to make that comparison. Like, oh, this is where we're at compared to where they're at. And the advancements we made, if you want to talk about Western civilization, and because, you know, their society imploded and on them, you know, if you talk about the Greek times into the Roman times, same thing. But again, it's the greatest times. If you want to say there is slavery in some places still on this earth today, slavery was the thing in both of those times, you know, I mean. Granted, NFL football could be compared to gladiator times.
Yeah.
At the same times, it was like, oh, what are you doing today? Oh, I'm about to go watch the guy fight the lion with the sword because he doesn't have his freedom. And I love it. It's entertainment for me.
Yeah. Gladiator is one of my favorite movies.
It's a great movie.
So good.
It's the best. I used to be able to quote that whole line. My name is Maximus Decius Brutus. Yeah. Husband to a murder. Again, I'm going to butcher it.
There's an Aurelius in there, too. I think so.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a great film.
Loyal to the true king, Marcus Aurelius. You got it.
Well, the point being.
Back to 1996, yes.
Okay, yeah.
That one first.
All right, this is more tangible for us here. How old were you in 1996?
6 years old.
Okay, I was 4. Probably, I always say, like, if I could go back into any time, I'd be 21 years old in 1996. We have an emerging economy. We have probably the greatest, in terms of, like, culture and pop culture, like, one of, like, the greatest, like, perfectly set stages of movies, music, fashion, freedom. People had this air of and sense of freedom in the 90s. I don't know if it's because they were born in the 70s and they were coming to age, you know, they're 20-something or 25 in the 90s. I don't know if it's because of, you know, coming off of such a conservative era of the Reagan era at the end of the 80s into the early 90s. I think it's this incredible mix of, you know, we had basically a booming stock market. We had a real estate market that was starting to go back up. We had a sort of a liberal but somewhat conservative president in the office, Bill Clinton, which mm-hmm. obviously he's a Democrat, but the platform he ran on did have some conservative values and policies within it.
Especially that crime one.
Yeah, crime and welfare. Which I think did good and bad. But somehow the 90s were this perfect, like, this perfect culmination of, I don't know, perfection. I mean, do you ever watch something from the 90s and think, like, oh, this isn't one of the best movies of all time? Or, like, you look at the fashion. Or you look at where people were.
Not the haircuts.
Not the haircuts, but you know what? People are experimenting. I think the 90s had the perfect level of technology. We had computers. So if we needed to type something for school, we could do it. If we needed to learn how to communicate, like, online, we could do it. Email was out, so if we needed to send a message through AOL or Netscape, we could do it.
Oh, wow, you brought it back.
I did. My sister actually has a Netscape.
Do you know what Netscape is?
That's a hard no.
Hard no.
he's like, I'm on my Netscape right now. we had, I think, everything we needed. And so, you know, if I wanted to email you back and say, like, hey, I'm coming down to the studio today, I could do it. If I wanted to beep you or call you on our cell phones, like, we could also communicate on that platform. Okay. So I really do feel as though we had everything we need in the 90s, and I think people enjoyed that. Like, we had a level of communication and technology that wasn't so overwhelming that we're now, like, consumed by these little, like, black boxes. And I think from that, you know, we found some freedom in being able to go online. We found some freedom from going to the best nightclubs in whatever city you were in. And we just, like, we were able to find freedom in every aspect of our lives. And I think that is what brought out the best in American culture.
Do you think that ending of the Cold War had anything to do with it?
I think that played a big role. I always say the 90s ended in 2001. I think 2001 basically eclipsed our entire idea of society, of freedom, of happiness. And the world changed so drastically. Like, I'm not even talking about the wars. I'm not going to dive into everything that came after. Mm-hmm. All I know is that the way that we saw the world and the way that we lived in the world changed as of 2001. Mm-hmm. I think the Cold War ending brought a great sense of globalization. You know, there weren't all these societies that were cut off from, you know, everyone else. And these were societies that were like East Germany, West Germany. It's not like we're talking about so far away in a land that none of us have been to. And so if you're looking at it, yeah, everyone was able to communicate and these barriers and the Iron Curtain were brought down and people were, you know, you had a sense of freedom. You were freed. Like, you were no longer mm-hmm. stuck in this trapped society. And I honestly think we probably, like, should have stopped with just, like, the flip phone and, like, called it a day. And, like, I'll beep you and, like, you'll, like, go to a payphone and call me. And, like, I'll be on time for the dinner that we say is at 7 o'clock because once I leave the house, like, I'm not going to have, like, cell phone service.
Yeah.
So,
like, just being on time just doesn't exist anymore.
Forget it, you know? And so I really do think we had found a golden age of all the important factions in society by 1996, and we should have just stopped there.
You made some interesting points there, especially with, you know, I have a hard time even thinking about, like, what life was like before 2001.
Yeah.
Because I remember being in middle school. I had been in the World Trade Center before, but, you know, I remember being in the cafeteria. Principal DelSalvo comes in mm-hmm. and just, like, it's just like the World Trade Center has been hit and mm-hmm. the bombing. I'm just like looking over my buddy, you know, what the hell is he talking about? What's the World Trade Center? Oh, the building, and they're showing two airplanes flying inside. But, you know, was me. I was 11 years old at the time. I mean, you really don't think about, you know, like you said, because a lot had changed, especially, you know, at the end of the Cold War. Like, oh, these people who we're supposed to, you know, not hate, but we just don't know when they're going to send over a bomb and, like, right. that's the end of it. Even right. up until the 1980s, it got really hostile.
Right.
Again, with we just don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, that freedom of the 90s, like, I really didn't even open yeah. up and look that way, that where it could be very, very, very loose in terms of the amount of freedom you had,
yeah.
in terms of what you could do, what the ideas were put out there.
Right.
Because, okay, we can look back into our own culture, our own lives, because we don't have to worry about warring in other places or warring here
yeah.
or what's happening or what these people are going to do to us in this place. And that's what, you know, the negative way or the negative verse of looking at globalization, that we're looking at it on a more warring type aspect and
yeah.
fearing other people.
But there was, I mean, there was definitely a point of positivity to globalization. And I think, unfortunately, we have departed from that idea. And I think globalization now is, honestly, I don't know what it's defined by. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how to define it either. And I'm not sure what other people define globalization, aside from being about, like, business and being able to trade and being able to buy frickin' Amazon from wherever the hell you are.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you could do it in South America. We could literally send products to people's yeah. addresses down there if we needed and wanted to.
Right. But my question is that globalization? In my mind, no. That's trading. That's business. I think globalization should have a much greater definition to it, because being global means having an actual connection to people all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think it means having enough freedom to have that connection with people. And I know we feel probably a little different about technology, but I just don't see technology as being the answer to bringing us closer to actually having a feeling of globalization, aside from whatever people define it as.
I'm more of a guy, I'd say, if you want to, people like to call it libertarian, but, like, you know, taking things and leaving them as yeah. they are. You know, oh, I want to take this because, you know, I like to use this much
yeah.
technology because this is the amount that works best for me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave the rest. Again, right. that comes with the level of, you know, respect, awareness,
right.
and understanding of yourself. You know,
yeah.
it's the same thing with, like, having a beer or,
right.
you know, self-control.
Well, we're going to have all those.
We're going to finish all these. Let us know when you're ready.
Yeah.
Just a while ago.
Oh, wow. Pass this
gotcha.
Her way. So, you know, it's really like taking things and leaving them for what they are and what they're worth. You
yeah.
know, with globalization, there's a really, really, really great NYU professor. I'd love to have him on the show. I love his, you know, his insight and perspectives on, you know, these ideas of the polarization from not just politically, but, you know, from children to how we're raised and brought up. You know, the idea of kids just don't have the chance to learn these experiences or have those interactions between each other, so they don't know what it's like to resolve
right.
problems
yeah.
on their own, or to go out and say, okay, we're going to problem solve, and like, oh man, we got to build a treehouse. Like,
yeah.
oh, let's go do this. Like,
yeah.
let's get some wood. Let's do this. No matter if it came out like shit or it came out good,
yeah,
that is such a human experience, not just a
right.
growing experience that you develop as a person, and you develop team building skills, and just like, but like,
yeah.
that's like, we don't have, like, hunting anymore, because we didn't have, like, we're not a warring tribe anymore. We can say, okay, listen, because that's, again, that's where language is developed. That's
yeah.
where language stemmed from. Like, okay, we got to figure out how to say, you go behind the animal, and
yeah.
I'm going to go on this side of the animal.
Right.
Because or else we're going to die.
Yeah.
And we're going to get killed. So, you know, we're trying to figure out how to communicate with all these people. We have the technology in order to connect with, I think, what is it? Up to 4 or 5 billion people we're able to connect with now of the
right.
8 or 9 billion or 7 billion that exist on this planet,
yeah,
which is incredible.
Yeah,
so fascinating. I can tap in with a hashtag. It's someone else who's looking up this hashtag because they might find things interesting that I might find things interesting.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, what is trade? What is me sending my product over there? What is somebody able to buy something from us? And I think it's trying to integrate it in with different people's cultures is the problem.
Yeah.
And businesses have failed and struggled that way.
Yeah.
But now we're trying to do that, you know, as a people and just with cultures. Like, oh, well, we should, you know, have, you know, look at Europe and bringing in that many refugees in, you know?
Yeah, their economy is struggling big time.
It's not you know, say, hey, don't bring these people in. How do we integrate people that just aren't the same or don't even think the same way? And not think the same way that they're bad people.
Yeah.
But that's just where conflict happens, because we have just totally different ideas of how we should live our lives, from how we should eat meat or how meat should be prepared,
mm-hmm.
to what you think should happen to your son or daughter after they're born or birthed in the womb. Should they be circumcised? Should they be female genital mutilation? Like, these are like pressing topics that
definitely circumcised.
there's another thing I'm going to press you on right there. Don't you think that is a form of barbarism, or the ideas of that is just an idea, perspective that we've had in the past 100 years of accepting of our culture, that, oh, you see enough of it looking a certain way that we deem that that is the right way that a penis should look?
Politically, yes. Preference-wise, no.
That is honest. Thank you. My point exactly.
God, I hope my mom's not going to listen to this one.
Why not?
No, it's fair.
Yeah. It's.
I don't know. I mean,
I'm going to pass that opener. Thank you.
You got to, I mean, okay, so I was talking to one of my friends at work the other day, and I was, you know me, like, I'll just sometimes speak in, like, one lines or, like, ideas. And I was just like, you know, my life is just practical and perverse. And he was like, he started cracking up, and I was like, yeah, it's going to be the name of my first book. But you got to be a little bit practical here. I mean, again, like, how far are we going to take, like, these ideas of injustice? Should your penis be circumcised? I mean, probably, yeah. I mean, in terms of, like, function, I'm sure it works better one way versus the other.
It's not actually a form of health anymore that we say, like, oh, like, this thing's actually going to contract disease. Or
Well, fine. Then in terms of preference.
Yeah, okay, exactly. That's all. As long as it's on preference. But again, it's on preference because that's what we've deemed as, you know, right. You know, it's okay.
I just want to be clear.
Look at pubic hair. Pubic hair is just extinct. Crabs have gone extinct because pubic hair.
Thank God.
Because people watch on pornography, or they watch on a Playboy, and like, oh, yeah. Wow, this gal does it, or yeah. This guy has his penis. Like, I think that's just a better way to look at it.
I mean, it's probably more comfortable. I don't know.
Again, I'm not looking at a penis all the time. I don't look at a penis. I just look at mine. Yeah, that's just what it is. That's what it looks like. And then, okay, a woman. Hair or no hair. Again, that's on the perspective of the individual.
Yeah.
Who's doing it. But again, if we're talking about cutting off the skin of a baby.
Yeah.
Because a man 5,000 years ago supposedly was going to sacrifice his son to God, and God said, hey, listen, thank you.
Just cut his winky.
You can do a sheep, and if you just give me a little bit of skin, like, that's all I need. And
why couldn't they take the skin from anywhere else?
He could, but imagine, again, perspective.
Pinky,
what if you just
say,
okay, we chop off like a little bit of the nose, and we always just had like just not this piece of the nose off there?
Yeah.
And we gave that to God.
All right, but you cover up.
But what if we just walked around like that and you just didn't know? Like, we thought, oh, this is just normal. That everybody just chopped off the ends of their noses, and that's how life would be, and that's what's acceptable in society.
Yeah.
And then we just always thought, oh, look.
You know, people pay a lot for those nose jobs these days, so maybe we should have started that a lot earlier.
But yeah, like a small sect of people for a few thousand years, like, really held out. The Jewish people, they said, no, we're just going to keep cutting off the end. We're going to keep cutting off that skin. That's just what Abraham said. And now, Western culture and this whole idea of Western civilization
has
become a really deemed thing in our culture and society. And so this is what's acceptable, and this is what's right perspective in our time and place in history. And like you said, everything that happened, a lot of things that happened at the end of the Roman Empire, for example, they kind of disappeared and they went away from just how to have clean water.
Yeah.
So again, if it's that easy to forget things, and things could be, you know, a rock falls from the sky, you know, we have a solar flare that takes out our whole entire electrical grid because a lot of things are deemed or run on that grid.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think would be the number one thing that disappears? Is it circumcised penises? Is that the thing that's going to be forgotten?
I hope not. I don't know. You want to know why kids aren't getting circumcised these days? Because the mom looks at the dad and says, thank God you weren't circumcised. Like, I wouldn't have married you. That's practical and perverse. That's just what it is sometimes. I don't know what to say. Like, I don't know. Don't get it done. Get it done.
Listen,
but you know what? The kids that don't have it done wish they had it done.
Do they?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Because
you polled people?
I don't need to. It's just the reality. It's just reality.
I'm going to take it completely 360 on this. No, 180.
Yeah.
Other direction.
Oh, you want to bring it back?
No, we might come back to it.
Okay, fine.
U.S. gymnastics.
Yes. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. It's in turmoil right now.
What a nightmare. I was a gymnast for my entire life, and all my coaches were women. But I did meet Bella Caroli a number of times, and I guess when you sort of think about it from a like practical perspective, like we're young women in just leotards. So that's for me, when I was a girl, I always felt like a little bit exposed, and like I would put shorts over my leotards. Like
like you said, our society is very sexualized. I mean, right. I had two younger sisters who did it, and like literally, I mean,
it's just there.
It's there.
Yeah. Everything's just there. So I think in that regard, and I don't know, I didn't notice anything as a kid growing up. Like, I didn't have any thoughts on it at all. All I knew is that, like, I had a little bit of a butt, and sometimes I wanted to wear shorts to just, like, cover it up, and that's all I thought about. As an adult, though, and now with all the things that have come out, it's pretty revealing to just have, like, a leotard on, and that's it, and be around, like, all sorts of adults. Some that are clearly great and great coaches and mentors, but some that are clearly, like, fucked up, as we've learned from so many different athletes and, you know, different things that have come to light throughout gymnastics and wrestling and football. I think what's going on with U.S. gymnastics is atrocious and disgusting, and I think, you know, I'm not someone who says, like, an eye for an eye, but, you know what, sometimes, like, I think sometimes people really need to learn their lesson and get, like, a taste of their own medicine. And I think when it comes to adults molesting children, it's just one of those scenarios to me that is so disgusting as a human that I don't know what the right punishment is. But, you know, I do think we need to give some more thought to, like, what we're going to do with this, like, continued and seemingly growing problem in our society.
It was Larry Nassar. Is he a trainer? Was he a coach? Because he's out of Michigan State.
Yeah. I thought he was, like, a trainer or just some sort of, like, additional staff member. I didn't think he was, like, a full-on coach.
What was he doing? You're whispering. He was a doctor. Okay. But what was it exactly that he was doing? I mean, that he was just examining these girls and just going, like, just...
I, from what I've read, it was a physical abuse, and far beyond just like a medical checkup, or it was sexual assault.
Wow. Any more details you got for me? Because like I said, I don't think I've looked all the way into it.
I don't know. It's hard to talk about because like, you know, these are kids. These are women. These are young girls. Like I can't say in this room, and I don't know if you can, like, how that would feel to try to recover from that sort of thing, because we've seen time and time again what happens to children who are sexually abused and, you know, what happens throughout the term of their life. Mm-hmm. You end up having very, you know, serious mental problems and a number of different issues that sometimes you overcome and sometimes you don't. And I say, like, God bless the people who can overcome that sort of tragedy. And honestly, God bless the people that can't, because who can? I mean, it's so horrific that a person is able to do that. And it's terrible.
Well, let's look back on it like a historical perspective.
I would just push them off a bridge. Like, that's my punishment.
It's nuts.
And yeah. With, like, a cinder block.
But, again, let's think a historical perspective.
Yeah.
Like, think about how much more we know we find out that people are doing this. And the shit does happen.
Yeah.
And maybe it's always happened. And it's always gone on.
It's always happened. I don't know if it's the change in how we are discussing these sorts of issues. I don't know if it's the change in how our voices are heard from being a woman or being a man. I don't know if it's the change in technology that gives us the opportunity to send what's happening to the right sources rather than just going to that point person who doesn't do much about it, as we've seen in some of these cases. It's probably a combination of all three, and it's gone on for as long as time, but I don't know. I just really wish it didn't. It makes me want to cry. It hurts me. It should hurt everyone.
Mm-hmm. But let's think about if this was happening, let's say 10x more across society and across civilization, like throughout, let's say, Greco-Roman times, 2,000 years.
Yeah.
That means that this was happening on such a larger scale.
Yeah.
And this made and defined, you know, how people were, you know, especially abuse.
Yeah.
I think, you know, especially over time through history, I mean, children being abused was like, it was rough being a child. If you made it to adulthood, I mean, you were one of the toughest people.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going all the way up to the 1800s. I mean, you're working in a factory.
Right.
Growing up, if I was young as 4 or 5 years old, you were a tough fucker.
Yeah.
I mean, that you were able to handle getting hit, being an orphan sometimes, and living on your own.
Right.
I mean, and now as we have this today, we find out this, I mean, not just the fact that this stuff still goes on and exists, but how we define generations and how we define people or human beings for who they were. And now, like you said, we're more aware of these things. We're more relevant. We can make sure these things don't happen. Because even to talk about people in the 70s or 60s, you know,
right.
or parent generation, like, oh, yeah, there was that guy, you know, that did this.
Right.
No one said anything, but he was doing that.
Yeah.
So if that goes away, and, you know, again, that's like a part of our culture. That's a part of us being human.
Right.
Is, you know, children being mistreated.
Right. Well, that's one part of our future I'm okay with. technology is okay if it... That's a part of technology that actually helps society, that helps humans.
What about pedophilia?
What about it?
What if this is, you know, I think people with, in terms of, you know, being gay, lesbian,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go through the whole alphabet thing right there, the lesbian, LGBTQ, EA plus, there's a whole list now.
Yeah, what's the plus? What's the addition?
Well, we haven't figured out yet.
Okay.
A is asexual, though. I know that one.
Lesbian.
Bisexual.
Queer. Trans.
LBG. Gay.
T.
Transgender.
Yeah.
Asexual.
That's the A plus?
It's A. I think the plus is separate. I don't know what the plus is.
Oh, they're not together. Okay.
Like some schools, there's no plus for your A. You just...
Unclear. I thought the A plus was clearly one, like, unit. Okay.
So a big case for people in the queer gay community is that, you know, I was born with this, and there is a gay gene.
Yeah.
And this gene exists only in me, and I've developed this gene.
Yeah.
If we're just able to slowly, I think it was like in the 50s when we first, with Crick and Watson, whatever their names were, when they're first able to... code our DNA,
mm-hmm.
and you know everything going on with CRISPR right now, and how we can be able to hack away and say, "Oh, you were born with a kidney disease." Oh, okay, let's just go peel this part of your DNA and your mom's RNA and the DNA here, and you're not gonna have a kidney disease anymore. Are you on blonde hair? Okay, we're gonna write that in, and blue eyes here.
Yeah,
and we can do that now. And what if, what's the word we're just talking about? Pedophilia is something that's genetically written in, and it's in there, and that we don't fully understand who these people are, and then we're going to throw them in a prison cell.
Yeah.
In prisons in the USA are like the worst places in the world. You're going to go in there, you're going to be raped, and this is your life forever. Like it again doesn't tackle the issue. And I mean, again, it's something like mental health. It's something, because this is almost a target of mental health. People are attracted to someone who has no idea to give consent away or to have some kind of social relationship to say, hey, this is what I want. This is something that pleases me. This is just someone taking something from them. And do they know any better?
Right.
Which is could be the mental disorder.
Yeah.
Maybe that's genetic.
That's a great question. I mean, if we could get rid of pedophilia altogether, that would be... Obviously, that'd be incredible.
It's a greater question, but like how we treat people in our society who are different, or that we don't, not even say different, that we don't understand.
Yeah. Because
you can say that people who, you know, in The gay community is a perfect example, you know, from the 1950s on, being, you know, persecuted or beat up by cops or, you know, people in gangs. Or, I mean, if you were an immigrant, even like in the UK, you had to worry about, you know, skinheads running around and beating you up.
Yeah.
Like, it's tough being different. And goes back to your thing of globalization. Like, we don't know how to integrate all these different people.
It is tough
and
being different. I'm so different. I mean, I'm not going to, like, stand out on a limb and say that I'm treated as, that, like, I feel, you know, perhaps like a gay person would who's, like, not part of the community or they're ousted. Like, I don't think in that sense. I've certainly taken as many measures as I possibly can to, you know, be a part of society. But I don't know. I don't know that being different is a bad thing. I tried being the same for a long time. Like, I tried being like other people, and I was not happy. Because for me, it was dumbing down my personality. It was, like, dimming my shine. It was doing all these things that are so unnatural to me to try to be a part of something that I clearly was not a part of. And I'm so much happier, like, these days just, like, being different or just being whatever it is that I am. Mm. And I'm sure you know, like, I come from a family that's, like, totally mixed. Like, my siblings are both light-skinned with, like, dirty blonde hair and, like, green eyes and gray eyes. So, like, not only am I different as a person, but, like, I look different. Like, you put all of us, my two siblings, together, and it's, like, different. Like, when I was growing up in school, my brother and sister and I always went to the same schools, and the teachers would be like, oh, you're adopted. And it's like, that's fine. Like, now looking back on it, you're like,
settle.
You're like,
pump the brakes.
Right. You're like, oh.
First of all, you're like, what's adoption? Depending on what age you get there on this.
But I knew it. I knew it from a young age. Like, I knew from a young age that I was different from them. So I grew up in a family where I was just different. And I think if you're able to, I think the sooner you accept that you're different and that you're not going to fit into a lot of things, which honestly, now looking back at basically what I was trying to fit into, those things sucked. You know, they're not all that they're, you know, hyped up to be. And I'm so much happier just having my own world where, you know, I have lots of different people come through it, and I have friends and, you know, relationships and conversations with all sorts of different people without giving regard to whatever judgment I would receive from being the same. I'm just 10 times happier. Even from the last time I saw you, I'm, like, indefinitely happier.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Be different. Be different. I mean, maybe it's us different people that are going to change the way that our society is headed. It's definitely not going to be the people who are all the same.
Yeah. It's be different, but also realize, like, you're not special. That, you know, because your skin's this color, or your hair is this color, or your eyes are this way, or you're taller, you're not special. Like, you're still a person. You know, just because you think, a comedian has a great joke, Chris D'Elia, you would not be playing Denzel even in your own movie. You're not Denzel.
Yeah.
You're not playing that. You're the guy, you know, if a gun's got thrown on you, you're not acting cool in front of the gun.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my God, please just take my girl. You can fuck her over there. Just take her away. I'm good. No, don't shoot me.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest realization. You know, my mom, she listens to all the shows. She's a good fan.
Yeah. Hi, Mom.
And she would drop me in areas. I mean, I was playing basketball at a young age, but like in projects called Liberia.
Yeah.
In Hollywood, Florida, at the MLK Center.
This is a very confusing destination.
Well, it's the Liberia projects. It's,
I know,
in Hollywood, Florida.
You're going to Liberia in Hollywood, Florida. On MLK
Center.
Yeah.
And she would just drop me off there to play basketball. And like,
bye, honey.
But these are the projects. And like, she would just drop me off there. Like, oh, you're good. And like, I never think about this. I'm walking around in project neighborhoods. And I was just like it's nothing. Like, oh. Yeah. And I think I even getting thrust into these experiences, even at a young age, like, oh, I don't live in the projects. I don't live in the hood. But I'm going to be walking around with these kids and hanging out with these kids and playing basketball with them.
Yeah.
And like I said, on my own, not with anybody else, and resolving my own problems and issues. And like those experiences, like, can literally see as they roll over to me being like, oh yeah, I'm going to drive a bus around South America and I'm going to walk around here and I'm like, hey, you seem like great people. Like, hey, yeah. We're from this part of the world. You're from this part of the world. We want to learn what you want to do.
Yeah.
And can we hang out with you? Oh, we can sleep in your house tonight? Oh, yeah. That's great. Like,
yeah.
And you don't see that openness. Or, just, again, I'm not any better than these people, but right. I just think they're interesting and fascinating because I don't know who they are and I want to learn from what they have to offer.
Well, I posted a photo, I think, yesterday, and the caption was basically, like, the universe is indifferent. I think at the end of the day, I don't know. At the end of the day, it's just we're all here. And I don't think in sort of a broad sense anyone really cares. Anyone really cares, like, what happens this way or what happens that way. I think just try to make – I always say take the good and the bad and, like, make the best of it. So just do your best and don't – I don't know. Don't try to be – I'm not saying go out of your way to be different. Don't go out of your way to be the same. Just – do whatever it is you're born to do.
Like what the other guy said. Have fun.
Yeah.
It's your choice to have fun and make money the way you want to have fun. And
right. A lot of people, I think most people know what they're born to do and don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it. Like, there's no follow-up.
There's no Nike pitch. There's not a Nike plug right there.
No.
They do not sponsor the show yet.
They don't. I just... But really, just do whatever it is you're born to do. I think so many people live their lives doing all the wrong things for all the wrong reasons, or maybe what they think are the right reasons. But my life is meant to be lived out to my best abilities and do the things that I love and laugh and smile and, you know, have fun and be mm-hmm. successful. And I've known from the time I was 3 what I was going to do. And I decided to do it. And I decided to do it at a really high level and be successful. And that's what I wanted to do. Like, no one put this into my head of, like, Mac, like, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, you're going to be a gymnast, and you're going to dance and, like, go to Ivy League schools. Like, no one said that. I just wanted to do that because I wanted to be here, sitting here, talking to you, looking back at my life in a way that it's already, like, so many stages have already been completed and already been done successfully that I'm now here sitting to you, like, sitting, talking to you about them.
Mm-hmm.
I dropped the mic.
Yeah. Have a sip of your beer. You did this last time. You didn't even touch your beer.
I know.
Take a break. Take a sip.
Right.
We're both on round 2 over here. Yeah. Yes, there's another person. I'm not talking to an imaginary object in the room. There's another. Sarah, right?
Yes.
Yes, I remember. Yes. I'm going over 6, like, heavy concussions. So.
Oh, sure.
But I can remember the short-term memory.
She's had a lot of concussions.
I've been 4.
Former athlete?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. What sport do you play?
Soccer, basketball.
Ah, I got all mine in basketball, too.
Yeah, it was tough.
There's another thing. I mean, with soccer, they just don't want people heading the soccer ball anymore.
Oh, yeah.
It's done.
A lot of people wear those concussion headbands.
Concussion headbands?
Yeah.
What do you mean, the whole head strap, like, rugby thing? Or like?
No, like, just concussion prevention headbands.
There's no prevention. Like, I hope they know that. Like, your brain sits in a pool of liquid.
It's a good marketing tool.
In your brain.
Much.
Well, I'm going to destroy them because they shouldn't be telling people they're going to save them.
Of course,
like,
not.
Even, like, when you're riding a jet ski and you're, like, on the water and you're hitting the water and you're jumping up and down and your head's getting whiplashed back, I mean, your brain's moving around this pool of liquid hitting your skull.
I was doing that last week. I was doing that this weekend.
It's dependent on the person and your, you know, how you not just heal, your body deals with inflammation, but you could be giving yourself a minor concussion. And now we know that, like, oh, we didn't know the brain sits in a pool of liquid. We didn't know that could potentially happen.
Right. Well, but I'm still cognizant, I think.
You're very cognizant. Yeah.
I actually got into a bad jet skiing accident a few years ago in Bali. I was jet skiing and I was, like, jumping waves and I clipped a wave, like, a wave broke and my jet ski, like, nosedived, like, into the water and my face hit my knee and just, like, blood came everywhere and I had a vodka and soda and just, you know, sucked it up.
Mm-hmm. You pushed yourself before, so you know. With sports, I mean, when you get injured, it's like it's a whole different beast you're dealing with.
Yeah.
How you can deal and cope with, like, oh, yeah, this is all cut up. You know, I have stitches on my toe, just got chopped off. That happened in South America. I got real lacerated. I got a toe cut from here to here on my pinky, under the foot. And I didn't realize when it happened because we were in the desert sandboarding. And I stood on 100-degree sand, so it compressed the wound, so there was no blood. And I didn't see it, so I looked down. Even though it hurt real bad, I'm like, oh. Everything looks okay. I climbed back up the 60-foot dune barefoot.
What are you, nuts?
I didn't see it. I'm just, like you said, it's a toughness. Like, you just don't
I think you're mental.
Probably, yes, at this point. Yeah.
What cut you so
It might have been the straps on the board, because like I went down the run and then I fell off and I flipped, but I got back on and stood as I kept going down the run. And when I got to the hospital, that was even the more interesting part. So a girl actually hooked up with on Tinder like 3 years ago. I set up this whole... What do you mean? She set this up on this amazing... Took us to the largest Pisco wine.
Does
winery.
Tinder still exist? I'm sorry to side question, but...
Apparently it does. I mean, I'm in a relationship. I've not used it. I
have a
back
very nice
on it.
Relationship.
She's the best.
Yes. Hi, Amy. Just kidding. I mean, what?
It still exists in all parts of the world. I mean, and
wow.
I mean, it's a great place even to get friendships nowadays. Like, if you
friendships.
Want friendships now. Yeah. Look at me. I mean, I've went from met this girl on Tinder last time, and then we got down there. I said, "Hey, Soraya, we're here. We want to do this whole story, you know, for our video aspect of the production company." And she set us up with a whole tasting and tour of the largest Pisco winery.
Okay, that's fair.
In Peru.
All right.
Set us up with a food tasting. And again, I call her. I'm like, listen, I have to go to the hospital. But yeah. I'm sending you a team. And we had three people with us at the time. We had Sherwin, who is a social worker in Toronto.
Wow.
40 years old, who was down traveling Peru. He hitched a ride on the bus with us.
Nice.
We had Sue, who is a... girl in her 20s from the UK. So I said, okay, Sue, you're in charge of hair and makeup if they ask. So I need you walking around powdering up this person's nose and doing this guy's hair.
Yeah.
Sherwin, I just need you holding another camera.
Oh, my God.
And we had some dude named Mateo who we stayed at his house. We met on, was it couch surfing or this other app called, what's it called? iOverlander. And we stayed at his house. He had a whole trout farm and everything. So
trout farm, the fish.
The fish and everything.
Wow.
Yeah, it's huge on sustainability. They have huge trout farms that trickle down into each other in Colombia.
Interesting.
So he was traveling all the way down to Bolivia while we were traveling at the same time. So he hitched a ride with us for a very long time.
Yeah.
For a very long time.
How long? 3 months?
Friendly long time. He did not go away. He was with us for a long way.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Whoa. And so I go. They go off and take care of this. I go to the hospital. The kid who was in the room that I had to go into, he had just blown himself up with fireworks. So there were, I mean, all there was in this hospital or clinic was a sheet right here, and I'm waiting outside, and they're trying to work on
this. With your toe cut off.
I'm just in my sandal, like, up in the air like this.
Hey,
like,
you said you could either be circumcised or just have another part cut off, so if you wanted...
Well, if I get my toe chopped off, then I can't turn. You know, you can't turn directions.
Well,
that's what the pinky's toes
do. You got something else cut off.
That's just a baby, though. I mean, we're either making someone disabled. I don't know what you call the other one. I don't know what you call it.
Hold on.
What would be the word? Impaling?
I mean, you'd have to define disabled, so.
So, I get there. There's nothing they could do at this hospital. They end up having to send this kid all the way to Lima on a 4-hour drive.
Oh, my God.
There's pools of blood on the floor.
Is he alive?
I hope so. There's the whole family and friends, like 20 or 30 of them outside this room. Everybody is just crying. I think they were crying because, again, I started crying.
Yeah.
Because it was like, okay, this kid is just screaming and crying. The doctors can't do anything. His parents can't do anything.
It's terrible.
And I'm just like tearing up. I'm like just hugging people. I'm like, this is the most emotional day ever.
You're bleeding all over everyone.
I'm just thinking about, you know, bacteria infection in a foreign country. Like, my clock is just up right now.
Oh, my gosh.
They're going to have to cut this one off.
Yeah.
I'm just so devastated. And then they call me in the room. And I get in the room, and then before I get in there, they go, okay. They write everything down. What's wrong with you? I'm explaining in Spanglish about what's wrong with my foot.
Yeah.
And they give me a piece of paper like this.
Yeah.
And I say, what's this? Well, you got to go outside the hospital and buy, like, you know, the syringes and the gauze pad.
Oh, my God.
So, again, my Spanish wasn't great at that point.
Oh, my God.
So I'm hobbling outside, you know, asking, like, a woman to help me. And I go to, like, two or three different pharmacies to buy the supplies.
Oh, geez.
I got the other supplies in the hospital at the pharmacy there. And I come back in. And so I'm laying face down like on a chiropractic table with my foot bent up backwards, and they're stitching and injecting needles for local anesthetic on the bottom of my toe, like in between my toes, so they could stitch me there with needles. And
I'm going to die right now.
It gets better. So then I'm like laying, you know, like the chiropractic – you've been to a chiropractic table and they
have
the face pad right there.
Yeah.
And so because of that leather, it wasn't a new table. It's like all pulled off.
Did they have the wax paper over
it? The padding was there. No, there was no wax paper there. But there's padding there.
Okay.
And I'm like, feeling it. I'm like, oh, why is it all like wet of like brown and red? I'm like, oh, it's probably the kid's blood who was laying there before me. So I got to lay with my face down in this pad. This guy's just shooting needles in between my toes and stitching me up under my foot. And I'm calling everybody. Like, so where are you guys now? Where do I have to go? And I get in a tuk-tuk and I head over to the Pisco Winery.
So this hospital is basically like a glorified hostel.
Yeah.
They just have a bed and some sheets, and there's no supplies in sight that you actually need
Peru.
To.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It was like $9, so it was.
Do you have your towel?
Still do. I think I can jump higher now because there's a little.
It's like extra strength.
Yeah, there's a little less, stuff right here. Not strength, but there's a little less,
So they cut some stuff off, right?
You're really digging on that one. You're not going to let that one go.
I won't.
See, I got a little more push off that bottom. I just jumped on a 5.5-foot box. So, I can.
Funny you say that. I saw that video of you, by the way.
I still got the bounce.
Yeah.
I don't want to get.
Sure. Call it what you like.
Okay, I could do it before then, too, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm voting for the other side.
Yeah.
So it gets better because we get to Cusco.
I just want to recap. So your toe's basically been lacerated.
Lacerated's the best word for it.
Yeah. Okay. So it's like dangling.
It's down to the muscles and ligaments under it.
So you then go to a hospital that has nothing that you need to keep this toe attached to the rest of your body.
Stitch, but it was a terrible stitch job.
Yeah.
It was still open, and it was me and the team are because we had a team of four at that point. We had Max, producer, Patrick, editing, and Daniel, my co-host and co-founder. And do I need to go home? Do I need to make sure this doesn't get infected?
Yeah.
So by the time we get to Cusco, because we drove from, this is Huacachina, Peru, to Cusco.
Yeah.
I get there and I go to the hospital. I'm like, okay, I need to get this checked or just get cleaned, There was a better clinic there.
Some precaution to not get gangrene and have your entire leg chopped off.
Exactly.
Point.
And then
okay.
To call Amy and just hey, Amy, so this happened today and I might lose my toe.
Do you want to date a boyfriend with no toe? Just give me a thumbs up if we're good.
I still don't have the foreskin, so it's like.
All right, I'm declaring a non-circumcision discussion from here on out.
From here on out, right.
Yeah. I will not make any further jokes. I promise.
So it's she flies down. I go to this hospital, you have a fungal infection in your wound, and you shouldn't be stitched up. We need to take these stitches
it's not
out.
Clean.
But that's the thing, you want to keep stitches in, though. You want to keep this dry. So she has me, rubbing antifungal cream in, and then it gets bacterial infected. After 2 days of staying in bed and not doing anything, so I go back in, and Dr. Kivitz was the other doctor there that day.
There we go.
He's
sounding more familiar to my taste.
A little Jewish, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Hey.
Potential.
Shalom.
And he goes...
That's the doctor I want.
He goes, listen, we're going to have to order a plastic surgeon in here because, this is not looking good. It's just really infected now. And I'm like, oh, my God. In my head, I'm losing.
You're like, oi, Kavitz. What have I done?
I'm losing this toe. Brandon, you're fucked. There's no way. So he's all right, we're going to order the plastic surgery. It's probably going to cost $100, have plastic surgery on it. Again, $100 plastic surgery, where is that happening?
Yeah,
is it going to be good?
I'm still scratching my head being like, I'm not sure that foot that you're showing me is actually real. It may be a fake.
So he's like, listen, I go, Kivitz, can you do this? I'm not even calling him doctor. I'm like, he's like, your name's Kivitz. You're not getting a doctor title at all. He's like, all right, it's probably going to take a few hours for the plastic surgeon to get here. I'm like, at this point, I'm just like over it. There's no way I'm saving this. Kivitz, can you do this?
Yeah.
I mean, only for an emergency. I'm like, well, are you good enough to do this? He's like, no, no, no. Mr. Brandon, I can do this.
Yeah.
I can fix your toe. I'm like, okay, let's go in the other room. Let's do it. So he re-injects me.
Fuck it, we're doing it live. Let's go.
Cleans the wound out, and it's peroxide. And what's the brown one? Sulfur something or...
Whiskey?
Scrubbing inside the wound, and it's just...
Bourbon?
It would have been better than what I had.
Let's just pour this Colombian tequila in there and just call it a day.
And scrubbing it, you can feel your insides. It's terrible. And then they re-inject you in, and then they start stitching it. No, they had to recut inside for the plastic surgery. So they had to cut the inside of the wound, with a scalpel to get it bleeding and like pulling the toes apart.
I'm gonna kill myself.
Oh, Brandon, we got some blood. It's looking good. Yeah, this is exactly what we want. I'm like,
and are you awake? You just
I couldn't feel it at this point. Yeah, yeah. He had injected me up with a good amount of anesthetic.
Did they give you anything else that South Americans often? No,
we can make that ourselves down there.
Okay.
Now.
Got it. I was just wondering, maybe they're like, here, just
take a bump.
Yeah. Just inhale like excessively. Keep breathing.
And it took like a good 2 months of leaving the stitches in, but it finally...
2 months. That's crazy because, I mean, I think a lot of people who follow your show know that the type of stuff you were doing was not only like very... outdoorsy and like interactive, but that you guys were just out there. It's not like you were staying at hotels and like going to resorts. Like you were physically immersed in the countries that you were traveling through. And so to think about having stitches in your lacerated toe for 2 months as you travel through these countries and like aren't staying in hotels or houses, mm-hmm. if you will, I'm amazed. I'm giving you a pink like star. Of honor.
Like a, what's it called? A breast cancer one? Can I wear that pink ribbon over here? But I get a star. Star is different.
Yeah. Like a purple star, but it's pink because it's for me. Yeah. I'll have my assistant mock it up. She'll get it over to you next week.
Let's sit down and actually design this. Okay. I really want to run with this.
It's going to be really pink. Like very pink. Like hot, like magenta pink.
Mackenzie.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say thank you. We're at 75, almost 80 minutes.
Wow, we've only talked about things that we did not discuss talking about. So I'm amazed.
Well, we talked about them. We just went really, really deep. But actually, I got one for you. Let's go, because this is the one thing that blows my mind since coming back.
Yeah.
You know, because you listen to news.
Yeah.
I listen to two Russian news sources. I listen to, like, all the U.S. ones. You scroll through your Twitter feed, like, oh, what's CNN saying today?
Yeah.
What's Sputnik saying today?
Yeah.
What's Fox News saying today? Let's get a full round run. Of,
yeah.
I want to say. And people are just blown away at Donald Trump.
Yeah.
They just don't know what to think. They don't even know what to say. I'm like.
It's remarkable, actually.
Like, I get back here, like, or some people are just like. And be like a weird speechless thing. I'm like, oh, so I mean, I've been gone, you know. So what's going on? What's happening? Like, well, I mean, you guys are doing some great stories and talking about people around the world, and you know, things are just not good or what's happening here. I'm like, oh, and they're like, oh, because you know. I'm like, oh, what's happening? What's going on? Like, well, Trump, and I'm like, yeah. Like, you know, what's happening? What's so different? You know, what's been changed? And it's. Crazy things. I'm like, no one can ever give me an answer to say like, oh, well, this is happening. And like nothing that's ever happening that was different from any different administration.
Yeah, it's a very interesting time in politics. And I'm looking forward to in 20 years from now, you know, reading the history books about it. I would say I have very independent political views. And I wouldn't say that Donald Trump is an incredible president. I wouldn't say he is my first choice in president. In fact, I did not vote for him. But I think the way that the news cycle and other sort of press outlets cover him is not productive. I think that we live in a society of headlines, which I know. I think we live in a society where we like to be stressed out. Like there are people that are actually addicted to stress, mm-hmm. and I think our president causes a lot of that stress by constantly, you know, just like going off the handle on whatever comes up or whatever sort of whatever's on his agenda. Like he creates a scenario in which people can just feed and frenzy off of stress, and I think I will say he's very good at it. I mean, there are things that he is very good at and that no other president has been able to achieve, like deflecting from having all of this terrible shit come out and just be like, so what? Like, what's up?
He's unreal.
I love Playboy models. What of it? You know, like, what are you
going
to do?
PR, too. Like, just like, oh, hey, listen, yeah, the North Korea thing's not happening anymore.
Yeah.
He blew it. And then, like, oh, wait, it's back on. Like,
no, he is actually... He's a remarkable. I'm not talking about business in terms of like whatever deals and financials and, you know, having your spreadsheet be in line. I'm talking about like the business of being a businessman. He is very, very good at. He knows how to market. He knows how to publicize. And he knows how to execute whatever it is that he's working on that very day. And it doesn't have to be like American foreign policy. Like, it's usually not that. It's how do I get whatever message I want to get across all of the channels in America and globally. And so in that regard, like, honestly, you cannot sit here and say, like, wow, this is, you know, this is a moment where I'm just scratching my head because he's so good at this. And, like, why don't I understand it? He is light years above whatever or whoever we think of as being, like, our best marketers in American society. As the president, I wish our policy was more focused. I think we could certainly bring up our classes and have people, you know, live a healthier both physical and financial lifestyle. I think where we are right now is just a little too chaotic, and I do wish that he used the things that he was good at to focus on the things that need to be improved. And I think every time, I mean, I'm around it all the time. Like, you know, my family is divided. Some people are Democratic. Some people are Republican. I do think that, again, to the beginning of our conversation, things are so polarized where it's like we just don't even talk about politics. And I just, again, I will say he should take the things that he's good at and use them, you know, use them for the good of the American people.
What's fascinating is, you see people, you know, when Obama was president, you see this Tea Party movement, and I remember, like, seeing these, like, stuffed black man dolls, like, being hung on a noose, and I'm like, oh, that's just, like, one thing you guys can't do,
no,
Tea Party.
No.
You can't have a black guy hanging from a noose. That's,
yeah,
like,
let's not lynch people. Like, that's
the thing. And then,
yeah, let's draw the line.
If people on the left could let, you know, I like to think it's, like, just good ideas come to the surface. If you really think your ideas are better,
right,
you know, it may be unfortunate that we have to put someone in power to really, oh, wow, this person was that bad.
Yeah.
But, okay, let's have, you know, the proper place, the debate, the forum, the plaza,
the tent where
the Acropolis. And you think back in Greco-Roman times, let's all talk, let's debate, and let the best ideas rise to the surface.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you see all these people, whether in the U.S. or in the U.K. or in Europe, like, they have Donald Trump's head, like, on a sword with, like, blood coming out of it. Like, what's so much better? That's not better at all.
That doesn't help.
To cause any problem. Like, why do we care what people in the UK, if anything, have to say about Donald Trump putting his head on a sword? And why should we be praising that here?
Right. It's not productive. None of what's going on right now I find to be very productive. And I'm a person of production. I like to see things getting done. I like to see us using our ideas for good. I like to see us moving forward as a society. And I just honestly, I feel as though we're, like, running on chaos instead of progress. And I continue to say that that's a major problem in our society. And I hope that one day looking back, or even one day while we're still in this, that we can actually look at what's going on in terms of our president and in terms of the American people and just say, let's stop feeding into the frenzy and let's actually start moving forward. Like, let's figure this out now, instead of continuing to go down this path, which I just don't think is going to be a productive one.
Well, you said what I believe, you know, it's that adoption of the technology. I mean, because we have the tools, or we say we have the tools, we have the food, we have the resources in order for everybody to have enough and enough to live the life they want to live. You know, we just don't have the, you know, the means, or the bureaucracy is in the way of using the technology we have to generate and pass out the means that we have to distribute. Not just to, you know, just, hey, everybody is going to get the same thing. It's just, but no, like, we can just do this and have people start. And I think when people get away from, like, a UBI or universal monetary incomes, like, no, this is just the new baseline. We just want people starting from zero. We're going to have them start at 2000 because we can do that, and we can make sure that happens.
Right.
It's not saying, like, oh, everybody's the same. It's like, oh, we can start the baseline different.
Right. Well, if all else fails, I'm just going to go live in 1996, and, you know, everyone in this room can join me.
If you can make that happen.
Get your frosted tips out.
I'll start for a weekend trip.
All right.
If you want to see those hairstyles still there, you should go to Korea or Japan. I mean.
Yeah, you know what? They know what's up. I am. That's it. I'm out. New York, I'm going to live in Korea.
But they're huge nationalists and racists over there. I'll just let you know that.
No, they're obsessed with me. They all think I'm Beyonce.
Yeah, but just like you, because you're visiting, you're not staying. Like they're really big on like, oh, just maybe it's the government's policy, but they're just like, oh yeah, we don't want.
That's fair.
We don't want people immigrating to our country at all from anywhere, even if you're.
Who else is gonna buy all that Hello Kitty shit?
That's not to say. Yeah. Damn it, the fish is good there.
Well, anyways, 1996, here we come.
We'll leave it at that note, because also we're going to get thrown out of here.
All right, thank you.
Thank you
of course.
For joining in. I'm glad we could roll over and run over our allotted time.
Yes.
We're almost at an hour and a half right now.
Really?
This one's mega long, yeah.
Nice.
But go ahead and plug yourself away. How can people connect with you, find you?
Sure. Everyone, you can find me at Mackenzie_Foster on Instagram. That's where I share most of my content. And if you want to email me, you can email me from there. I'm accessible all throughout New York City. If you see some really gorgeous girl walking down the street, great set of legs, big brown eyes, that's me.
Don't get it twisted. You heard
you know?
It here first. That's her. In case you
always say hi. Always say hi. We can always connect. Now that our conversation has come full circle, I'm always available to talk to anyone.
I want to make a joke right now, but we said we're not going to.
Don't.
Whether it's real estate, history, or just anything New York, hit up Mackenzie. She's a really cool girl. She really knows her stuff. And if you want to know about anything with business, startups, and, of course, her French fry.
French fry.
Would you call it a restaurant?
It's a restaurant.
It's a restaurant. I'm visiting.
We haven't even talked about all of our expansion plans, but that will be our third show.
I'll bring you on again.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I know.
You're definitely invited for a third.
Thank you.
So again, go check out Fry Guys New York. That's in the East Village.
Yeah.
In the East Village with a new pop-up in Brooklyn as well at Smorgasbord Wyckoff. Is that right?
Neither.
Yeah. Wyckoff Beer Garden? No more. It's over. It's off. Disregard that. That's why we're not live. Is that minute 29, 25? We're going to cut that one out. So again, thank you so much, guys, for tuning in the episode. Remember, if you like this show, you're a new listener to the show, hit that subscribe button over there. Now the show is on Spotify, so you can follow us on Spotify.
That's awesome.
iHeartMedia, where everywhere you listen to a podcast, you can find this show.
Wow, I'm about to twerk to that.
Next question. It's a weird shuffle that's going to be added into your playlist now.
Yeah.
It's like music and, hey, welcome on the bus.
I can sing for an hour and a half if you'd like next time.
Well, we can make
that way
that
it just
happen.
Flows into
well,
the
now we have the whole productions on YouTube channel. We'll give
and
you
I can dance. I can do a little boogie.
We'll give you your own video format platform for that. That's what
you
we do
should.
Now.
Oh, it's great.
Let's talk production.
All right.
So again, make sure you hit that subscribe button. Make sure you hit the follow button. We're on iTunes. We're on Instagram. We're on Spotify. Wherever you listen to a show, wherever there's social media, you're going to find the show. And again, guys, our trailer is out. First trailer for our pilot On the Bus podcast, Save the Dina Tour. And you're going to see that on YouTube. And make sure you hit that subscribe button and like button there. Punch away. Punch, 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 punch. Let us know how you like the show. And please pass the message and spread the message. And find out how you can join us on the bus. We're trying to plan for a season two. That'd be a season three now.
Season three.
I'm thinking India. It's even crazier. It's even tougher.
I can't visit you there. I'm sorry.
No?
No.
Okay, fine.
I'll Skype in. I'll do the video podcast.
Okay. So again, guys, make sure you find out how you can do that and check out our channel. We have a bunch of playlists, videos, everything you know and everything you want to find out about the channel. We're giving all these content creators, people we have on our show, their own platform on the channel, some really cool, amazing stuff. And I think that's it. No. Green Roads World. Make sure you're going over there. Use promo code on the bus, 15% discount for all CBD oil, whether it's be coffee, topical cream.
My grandpa has a great idea for that.
Really?
Yeah, to implement it into pet healthcare so that dogs who are struggling with like arthritis or things like that, cancer, you put it into a dog product.
They're using that.
All right, well, I'm going to market it the right way and become.
That's all you got to do. It doesn't matter. It's about not being the first to market. It's having the right product and
that's
the right team and the right market.
That's me.
I got you. So again, it's promo code ONTHEBUS, 15% discount. And if you shop on Amazon, make sure you're doing it through the On the Bus portal at onthebuspodcast.com. Do you shop through Amazon, Mackenzie?
I've sold out, but yes, I do.
Perfect. You could be donating 7% of your shopping list, or Amazon's going to donate, or they're going to match 7% of your order back to On the Bus podcast. So whenever you do your shopping, go
through.
Do
I get a discount?
No.
Oh, no, I can't.
But send us a good with us. So make sure you go to onthebuspodcast.com. Just click there, and once you're connected through the portal, you shop, you get it all done, and Amazon sends us back. Thank you to everybody done that. It's been big support for the show, whoever's done it.
All right.
Thank you.
Fine.
I can see what you ordered.
I make some big orders. It's going to be weird.
Oh, no. I can see when someone orders. I don't know who it is, but I can see when they order something. Like, oh, someone's ordering fertilizer, or someone blowing up a building or something, or you never know, but yeah. I can see what they order.
You just collect the check. The real American way.
Direct deposit, baby.
Perfect.
So thank you again, guys. Thank you again, Mackenzie.
Thank you.
Bus is out, episode 70.
This is the most,
thank you, guys.
For those who...